coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, the All Share are very much in line with that negative global momentum today, trading 0.25% in the red. Bulk of the pressure being exerted today by the Resources 10 component, and that even with that slight bit of rand strength filtering through it, 0.5% lower. Financial 15 losing 0.33%. The Industrial 25 in the meantime, just a touch in negative territory, and that as the retailers in fact found some support in that firmer rand. Joining me in studio right now is Imtiaz Suleiman of Sentio Capital. Imtiaz, thanks so much for joining us this evening. While we've got a trade, as I highlighted there, still cautious ahead of key risk events this week, the rand managing to gain some ground, albeit against major currencies, albeit slight against some major currencies today. Your reading of the trading day that was?
Yeah, I think what we've seen today is domestic shares finding some support from a stronger rand, and it looks like there's some positive sentiment towards the SA Inc. stocks in the lead up to the elections. So what we're seeing is buying ahead of that. You know, confidence has been very low, especially consumer confidence, business confidence, and there's quite a bit of pent-up demand for sort of the domestic shares, and also from a consumer side, a consumer perspective. Yesterday's Pick and Pay's trading update showed that you know, companies are managing to grow volumes, albeit, you know, certain companies, but their volumes are up 5%. Which was very encouraging. So investors are looking for any sign of positive news, because what's implied in the share prices is a very negative outlook and low GDP growth.
How much of what we're seeing play out locally as a result of you know, what's playing out globally? Because we've had the IMF's half-yearly forecast coming through and certainly reinforcing the message that trade spats are contributing to a lower or slower growth in the global economy. It's made quite a cut to its growth expectation to 1.2%. How unnerved are the markets by something like that?
From our perspective, the IMF is always sort of somewhat late to the party. You've got private providers that updated on a much regular basis, and I think it's no surprise that they've come out with 1.2%. We've seen that you know, the SARB's own numbers are at 1.3%, so not very much different to the 1.2%. But what is interesting is that GDP growth expectations are very low. If we do have a sort of favorable election and one that goes by peacefully, that could be upgraded quite meaningfully. We've seen sort of the S&P coming out with their forecast of 1.6%. So the ranges are quite wide, and there could be a positive surprise after elections.
Yeah, of course, you know, as I say, it's in a context of slowing growth globally. What is particularly interesting is the kind of movement we're seeing in our mining space in particular, because we've had strong commentary coming through from Sibanye. It's lowered its gold production forecast as a result of the strike, and it's quite unnerving because it's saying it expects production to fall by nearly two-thirds because of a wage strike. It comes at a time where you've got China pumping stimulus into its economy, begging the question once again in that commodity circle, how positioned is South Africa to you know, leverage off any growth, even if it does come through?
Yeah, that's a very valid point. I think we've missed out quite a bit of this global uptick in GDP growth. But what is sort of comforting is China's stimulus will filter through down into commodity prices. Commodity prices and the shares have done particularly well, and that will provide further support for these mining companies. But from the mining perspective itself and those companies, we've seen them take quite drastic actions on their cost basis, rationalizing costs, paying down debt, focusing on paying dividends, not being reckless in terms of any M&A activity. So they've really focused on their own businesses and right-sizing their balance sheets to an appropriate capital structure to position themselves in the event that we do have another downturn. So they're quite favorably positioned, and their valuations, for example, Anglo's that we've discussed before, are still quite attractive.
Still, I've got to ask, is it enough? Because you've got energy costs, labor costs, and now Amplat's highlighting carbon tax costs that's going to you know, be hitting that bottom line even harder down the line.
Yeah, you know, this, call it this administered cost increases have been quite somewhat above inflationary increases, and that is putting pressure on these mining companies. But if they do manage to sort of rein in the cost, which they have done over the last few years, they should experience positive margin expansion, which would still be beneficiary. In Sibanye's case, you know, the gold production output, the drop in the output was due to the strike action. Hopefully that's resolved now, given the court declaration that it's not legal, and that should resume going forward.
Very quickly, Richemont, worst performer on the top 40 index, close enough to 4% lower on the day, on the back of Credit Suisse saying that its shares are overvalued, considering how much capital the company will need to pour into its operations. But the debate is fierce. You know, you've got the bulls emerging, saying that it's already factored in most of the negative news, and the critical assets are currently undervalued. Which camp are you sitting on at this stage?
We sort of underweight Richemont on the back of them sort of have to invest, as you mentioned. They bought the other 50% of Net-a-Porter, which they didn't own last year. So they have to spend some money in that platform. The other shift taking place in Richemont is the shift from wholesale to retail. So what they're trying to do there effectively is to own more of their stores going forward. So they have direct insight or sight of line of the inventory to avoid any sort of overstocking in the channel, which leads to higher markdowns going forward. So there's a bit of a model change going forward. And also, I think in terms of luxury, there's a shift from hard luxury goods, which is watches, jewelry, to more experiences, which are experiential travel, such as travel and the like.
MTS, let's wrap this up with your stock pick.
I'm going with Motus. It's you know, the what a spun out of Imperial. It's trading at a 5% dividend yield. They play in the South African vehicle market. But importantly, you know, their fortunes are not entirely tied to a uptick in new vehicle sales. They've got quite a high base of annuity income, which comes from servicing revenue, which comes from financial services. And that's more annuity and recurring in nature.
Well, let's leave it there. MTS, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that MTS Suleiman with Sentio Capital. MTS, let's wrap this up with your stock pick.
I'm going with Motus. What a spun out of Imperial. It's trading at a 5% dividend yield. They play in the South African vehicle market. But importantly, you know, their fortunes are not entirely tied to a uptick in new vehicle sales. They've got quite a high base of annuity income, which comes from servicing revenue, which comes from financial services. And that's more annuity and recurring in nature.
Let's leave it there. MTS, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that MTS Suleiman with Sentio Capital.